All right, I'm doing a Feature Friday because some things are relevant. Feature Friday is an extra episode. Typically, it's only Monday through Thursday. But if there's something going on, and there is, I do something like this. Two things. One, what's going on with masks in Taiwan? Not a big deal, but it's just, it's developing. It's growing a little bit. Second thing is, I've been, you know, social things. You know, society, culture, dealing with people, like social interaction. No, that's my monster. I'm having a Marco Rubio moment. So, look, I love Marco. It's just he trademarked it. You know, being able to roll with the flow or roll with the punches, go with the flow, flow with the punches, whatever. Anyhow, being able to flow and roll and punch and it's something that a lot of Taiwanese don't know how to do the same way Americans do. And we all roll and punch back at different times. In Taiwan, everyone's like, yeah, we gotta be safe. You walk into the gas station, they just want you to write down your name, phone number, and the time. So that in case, they just keep it. I don't think that it's even audited, but just in case someone visited the store at that time and other people were there and the person was coughing and sneezing all over everyone there was there, they can call those people, hey, you might be sick, you know, don't get your family sick, you know, that's it. And you know, it's not, it's not this oppressive system. It's just, yeah, write your name and number down, you know, and everybody does it. And everyone's like, yeah. And we want to be safe. Because this island of 23 million people has had a whopping just under 300 local cases every day for the last week. 1 week, it was just over 300. Like the second day that it was pluming. Now it's kind of going back down to just under 300. Most of those cases are in Taipei. I'm in the south. We're, you know, almost nothing's happening, but everyone's like, we don't know. Just everyone, you're all tired anyway. Just freaking stay home. School's gone online. A lot of work is online. You know, engineers are working online. So they're just chill about it. They're just chill about it. They enacted a new law effective yesterday that it's a $100 fine, approximately 3,000 NT, if you wear a mask outside. Or no, if you don't wear a mask outside, excuse me. Now what happens is you get these kids every once in a while that just want to be rebellious for no reason. Maybe they want to get attention. I mean, I'm seeing them on YouTube. I'm seeing them on Instagram and I'm seeing them on TikTok, the same video being replayed everywhere of some kid that goes into a store and takes off his mask and jumps in and outside of the store. And then someone chases him down the street and, you know, some kid, I'm not going to wear a mask. And everybody's just mad at him. And then that's it. It's over. It's not political. It's not, you don't have half of the people in Taiwan ready to riot and protest over whether or not the other half of the people are or are not wearing masks. You don't have government telling people that they can't run business. Now, all restaurants have gone to carry out, but they're getting a lot of carry out business. It's not hurting their businesses. So it's just, you know, in Michigan, you know, Whitmer, you can't have hair salons. What the heck? How is that gonna make Republicans believe that Democrats can be friendly? And then the same thing goes with people, you know, Republican voters being so angry about these masks, refusing to wear them, having this chip on their shoulder and attitude about stuff. Let's go back to the Republican voters' favorite book, Little House on the Prairie, that series where Pa said, "What must be done is best done with a joyful spirit." Or maybe it was a grateful spirit. You know, I mean, where are the people that don't want the masks think it's about government control. Well, you know, governments in America are making it seem that way. They're not helping to, you know, people to think that it's not about control, because that's what they're achieving. And then these are Bible believing Republicans oftentimes. Where does the Bible say that you've got to be an ass toward Caesar? Where did Jesus say, yeah, those Roman soldiers, make sure that you're mean to them and that they feel worthless? What the heck? So I just see massive, you know, in Republicans, or not Republicans, excuse me, Democrat voters, liberals are often about peace and getting along. They're the ones that push the LGBTQ tolerance movement. Where the hell is the tolerance for masks and not masks? Where's the patience? I see gross hypocrisy for their normal values, their platitudes, and what they talk about in elections. Both parties break their principles of who they say they follow. And the Taiwanese aren't doing any of that. It's delightful. It's utterly delightful. So, you know, I visit friends, walk into the house, I'm like, okay, down to business. Safety protocol. Take my temperature, spray my hands with the alcohol. I don't like the alcohol. I tell everybody your body has more bacteria than cells. This antibacteria spray is killing who you are. But can I do a little? Yeah. I can do a little. But I'm not gonna spray alcohol over my house. I mean, I talked with a lady about a year ago. She used to spray alcohol everywhere, was utterly careful about germs. Their daughter grew up in that and was allergic to everything. Second marriage, they didn't do any of that. Second daughter wasn't allergic to anything. Could there be a causal effect that science must explore? Well, not if you're a doctor, because they never report new findings. So you go to your doctor, say, hey, I found a way to do something. I found a home cure. See how interested he is. So I know that the RNA vaccines maybe only vaccinate against the 10 most common among 200 strands and growing. I know that. As long as the vaccine isn't poisonous, as long as there's not something in it that's intended to do harm, which there could be, yeah, I'll take it. But I'm not going to hate people that don't. Where is the love? What is this obsession we have? So in terms of general health, the Taiwanese are, oh, yeah, we got to wear masks, you know. And you know, you go down the street, someone's not wearing his mask on a bicycle. The kids will say, get on the camera because they want to be famous on Instagram. Hey, uncle, wear your mask. And uncle sits there, puts on his mask. Cars are waiting behind him, you know. And they comply. They listen with each other. They listen to each other. They're polite about it. Polite about telling him, polite about doing it. So it's an utterly beautiful part of the culture. At the same time, I'm watching these mask developments. All restaurants have gone to carry out only. You can't get fresh fruit in a lot of convenience stores. Like fresh prepared food, like they don't in America, they don't even have this fresh prepared food, but they've got hot dogs on the roller and they've got sweet potatoes, bacon on the rocks, in convenience stores here. You just grab it and go. It's like an open barbecue. They don't have those anymore. Not now. Those are just not available at the convenience stores. Which there's convenience stores everywhere. Convenience stores are more common in Taiwan than gas stations are in America. Gas stations are actually gas stations and convenience stores. That's what they are in America. Okay. So no. In Taiwan, gas stations and convenience stores are separate because you walk on foot to a convenience store or you park outside quickly. You would never in Taiwan, with the way everything works, everything's close and available, you would never buy a soda and get gas in your car in the same stop. It's just too complicated. Everything in Taiwan is so simple. It's less time. Run over here, grab gas, run down the street, grab a soda. It takes less time than a one stop at a gas station in America. I'm not saying it's better. In America, it's less time than it would be to, you know, it's just, that's how life is structured. So you just, you don't do that. So they have these convenience stores everywhere. 7-Eleven is not a gas station. It's purely a convenience store. At the same time, I've been dealing with some serious interpersonal issues in Taiwan. They're coming to the surface. So my buddies from America, other buddies that I've known, are talking to me about, you know, some woman issues I'm dealing with. Not complicated. It's just, what do I mean by woman issues? This is what I mean. If a tree falls in a woods and there's only a man there who hears it, and there's no one else, only the man, and the man says something about the tree that fell. He heard the tree because he was there, and the man said, oh, the tree just fell. And he's all alone. There's no women around. Is he still wrong? That's what I'm talking about when I say woman issues. See, women think that that's playful fun. Like if you hit a cat or if you hit a parrot, like if you smack a parrot, I don't mean hurtfully, but maybe unfriendlily. You smack a dog on the face, kind of, he'll like blink his eyes and he'll kind of be sorry, or at least pretend to be. You smack a cat, the cat's like, I didn't ask you to do that. Who do you think you are? Okay, the bird thinks that you want to play, but it doesn't like the play. The way women respond to jokes like the man in the woods is more like the cat or the bird, not like the dog. There's inability to listen. That's my general experience. And the price is men get worn down, and because they're tired, the men are less of what the women want them to be. You know, what woman wants a man to be able to go do stuff and get stuff together and be organized and, well, maybe be her servant. But he can't do any of those things with how worn down he is from being treated like he's worthless all the time. And so, by, you know, men tell these jokes not because they're looking for a way to be funny. They're telling these jokes because there's a reality to it, and there's a little bit of, shall we say, relief, you know, some comic relief or some kind of an outlet to ongoing frustration of a real problem. It's a way to express a real problem in a way that's somewhat comical, but the problem is real. Women hear that and they don't get it. They still don't listen. And there's an utter inability. Now my buddy in Chicago, Ty, who's not going to listen to this, he says, Jesse, all women aren't like that. I'm like, all right, but show me one that's not. And I'll show you a Proverbs 31 woman. Show me one that's not, and I'll tell you a woman that's happily married. How many happy marriages are there? As many women as there are that don't degrade the men. Because a woman like that will have so many men after her that she won't have trouble finding a man that's good. So it's like, now, you know, men have their own issues, enormous issues. You know, men don't listen. Oh, my goodness. It's something I've just seen so many times. I've watched so many fathers F up their children. But I don't know. I've run into an attitude over here, not just with women, but with so many people in Taiwan. As friendly as they are with stuff like the mask and safety, getting along with other people, as friendly as they are, I've just been realizing the Taiwanese are incapable of listening. Even the good ones. And I don't know what it is. The good young people who will listen to new ideas, they get yelled at all the time by teachers and parents. I mean, have you seen this funny Asian guy? I think it's funny Asian guy if you go on TikTok. He's this young ABC, and he makes lots of jokes about Chinese culture and expressing it. I think the last one that I saw was, you know, Asian parents don't watch the TV, they judge it. You know, and it's hilarious how he says these things. Younger people are able to listen, But they get yelled at so much by parents, by teachers, that they don't have any energy to listen. And so the people in my life, I can't talk to. Because everyone else in this effing culture has degraded them and beaten them down so that they no longer have the energy to hear me tell them that I love them. And so I call these, you know, I talk to friends. I'm like, yeah, I'm dealing with this. They're like, yeah, we'll just say, I can't live that way. I got to have something, you know, more of a two-way street. I'm like, that's too many words. They're like, what do you mean that's too many? I'm like, I live in this culture. You know, I came over here to Taiwan because Americans don't understand cultures enough. So many black people and white people don't understand each other. Black people and police don't understand each other. We're starting to figure some stuff out. There's a massive attitude on behalf of the police because they're the ones run around in Kevlar with a radio and a gun. Now you get kids of any color. They might have a gun, but they can't. They're no match for these cops that are so tough and mean. The greater responsibility falls to the police because they're in the position of the advantage. Massive attitude problem there, and I don't see it getting fixed anytime. It's an attitude problem. All right, but I came over here because Americans understand other people less than black and white people understand each other in America. And people don't seem to get this. I cannot use 10 words to try to resolve any conflict in Taiwan. It's not possible. Not in English, not in Chinese. Because by the time I get to word number 6, or maybe number 5, person can't listen anymore. Either they lock up and don't want to because they're used to having their ass kissed, or they're tired because everyone else beating their ass. And Americans try to tell me that I'm wrong, or you know, like they try to give me advice for a situation that they haven't seen. You know, I just talking with a guy recently, you know, he's a Westerner. He's been here just a few years and he's had, he had a girlfriend and they had a business together and she just stole the whole thing from him. Lawyers won't help him. He thinks that they will, but they won't because it's a do-nothing society. And they just screw over the foreigner and then they want other countries to like them. And then that's the end of it. I'm thinking about doing a video with him to try to explain to the Taiwanese what's going on because so many Taiwanese don't know what they do to people. And a lot of them would listen. A lot of them would. But I've got to put it in a way where there's a video, they've got a pause button where they can stop me. Otherwise, they can't hear it. And I'm telling you, I've been in this culture 12 years. Most Westerners can't survive it. And I'm getting just tired. No, my buddy called me and he's like, Jesse, you look like you're losing yourself. You look like you're tired. Are you still Christian? I'm like, yeah, there's never that's not an option. What do you mean? You know, he's like, you look like you're losing your life. You just don't care. And I'm like, well, I'm getting a place where I don't care. But ultimately, my decision on Taiwan is going to be that I'm going to stay here and I'm going to defeat this effing culture. Because I just see so many stories. The Jesuits had massive conflict with an old Chinese emperor. And you know, they went in as foreigners and they started getting angry about stuff. There's so much in Taiwan that's good. But Taiwan and Hong Kong are exiting from that culture and China has a lot more of it. And that's the difference between Taiwan and China. It's this culture. And the culture will not accept that oppression. It's slowly walking away from it. But there's a lot that needs to be done for people to be able to receive love. They can't receive love when they're yelled at so much that every single love language is exhausted. Every language is so tired. Time, words, acts of service, The things we do to communicate to other people love, they receive all of those through all those languages. They receive so much hatred that they can't even receive love. You give them an act of service, they think you're telling them what to do by doing something. And I don't know. I hope that you as an American can understand the concept that whatever you think I need to learn with this is wrong because you haven't been here. I'm trying to tell you what's going on. And if Jesse Steele, the legend, as I have been called, is here for 12 years and trying to deal with it, you don't stand a chance giving me advice on something you've never seen. I'm helping you know this because I want to increase your knowledge. And I guess the point of this, talking about the lovable and the despicable aspects of Taiwan's society, also America's. Even parents that yell at their kids a lot, the kids can still listen. Now, I have known one family that did yell at their kids, but they were like an Asian family. It was really funny. They were fully American, spoke English, but they acted like Chinese. And maybe that's why their kids were often viewed as psychopaths by their friends at school. Would be psychopath, be antisocial because it's conditioned. Or maybe it was psychopath because the mother was taking calcium tablets when she was pregnant with the kids because scientists said that it helped bones be strong. Maybe that's what was going on. But there's no, see, this is what I mean. I've seen different families. I've been in and out of different homes for 25 years, tutoring, piano lessons, discipleship, in Cabrini Green, in Asia. You know, I teach computer and piano over here. I help people. One of the things I do a lot over here is Bible. I see how different people do things. And I'll tell you, I love America's culture's ability to talk about things frankly and to have real conversations, to generally not run away. And the people that do run away are seen as kind of weird. I love that. But I don't like America's tendency to get angry about everything. You know, these masks and the vaccines. Yeah. You know, part of me thinks that, you know, RNA vaccines, like you don't do any vaccine for the common cold or for the flu. You don't do vaccines for those because they change too much. They can make you sick. Some people even die from them, as I understand, from the vaccine because it makes people so sick. But standard viruses that do not mutate should have vaccination. But it's like, I know the discussions with those, and a lot of people don't think because they're just brainwashed to believe whatever some doctor says without understanding the concept of a second opinion. Doctors don't all agree on everything. Okay. Well, I think that there's a lot of fakery going on purpose. See what I think that the vaccine, I mean, we are more at risk for other viruses than we are for COVID. It's easier to catch. The death rate's higher. There are other things that are more dangerous than this. Why are we going to the mattresses on this? It's almost as if they want it to look like they're focusing on the wrong thing, and they want it to look like they're coming up with a fake solution just specifically to irritate the Republican thinking people in America. It's like if you're a Republican and you're provoked to anger by this, they played you. You've been manipulated if you're angry about it. Evil powerful people do this. Read Machiavelli. Read Robert Greene, 48 Laws of Power, The Art of Seduction, 33 Strategies of War, which I'm still going through bit by bit. Go read these power games people play. They do some evil thing which looks bad to both political perspectives. It looks bad to those guys and it looks bad to these guys. We'll say, hey, you know, vaccine, wear a mask. Everyone, yes, and kill everybody else who doesn't. Okay, that's left thinking. And then you've got, what? No, kill everybody who tries. And it's like, see how easy that was for them to get both sides angry? They want people to fight with each other. It's like, if that wasn't intentional to make both sides want to fight, they sure did a good job. Don't be so manipulated, no matter what side of the fence you're on with this. Learn so much from the Taiwanese with this, please. But at the same time, you know, Taiwan's got this listening problem that I've just been dealing with. And the reason that I explain all this, it's the good and the bad, the lovely and the despicable are flipped between Taiwan's culture and America's. And I'm not telling you that because I need some sort of advice. No one, people even in Taiwan can't solve this problem. The Taiwanese don't know how. The missionaries don't know how. The Westerners that have been here 20 and 30 years don't know how. They keep fighting against it, and they have small victories, and I guess that gives people courage. It does. But this is a problem that's not easy to solve, and if there's anything I could tell you from this, it's this. Don't think that you understand the answer just because you understand the problem. Don't think that you understand the answer just because you understand the problem. That's what's going on with the despicable parts of America's culture and Taiwan's culture. People see a problem and they think they know the answer instantly. Think about that thinking. Think about what that implies about how you view yourself or how someone else views themselves. Think about that. Someone sees a problem and they think they instantly know the answer. That's what I deal with women problems. I'm trying to get something done and I get some woman that lectures me for an hour and not one thing do I learn. And now I'm tired and then the woman tells me that I'm not mature because I get tired easy. Everything's my fault. Do you think I want a woman like that? The reason I'm having trouble isn't because I need someone to tell me something that I already know. And if that woman knew so much, she would know that I already know and wouldn't try to tell me. So she doesn't come across as knowledgeable at all, just ignorant. And I'm going, gee, now I understand why people don't listen in this culture. You know, the reason that we're having trouble is because we're taking on enormous tasks. We're trying to do something that's big. We're trying to do big, heavy, hard, difficult jobs. We're trying to do stuff that ain't easy. That's why we're having trouble. I can stop struggling real easy. I stop trying to help your ass. And all my problems go away. Where's the gratitude? I don't need lectured. And your kids don't either. Now, they might need some helpful rambling. My grandmother used to walk through the house at random and say, do to others as you'd have them do to you. Do to others as you'd have them do to you. She'd be in the other room, walk through the room. I'd hear it come and walk out of the next room, just keep saying it. I had no idea what she was doing when I was five. Now I grow up, they're all memorized. I'm like, oh my goodness, she was making me memorize things that would tell me what to do when I was 40. That's what we need from parents. Give them virtues. And when the kids are stupid, love them. Maybe say, hey, did you learn anything? If not, that's all right. I'm here to keep you alive when you don't. Fixing someone's self-made problem, like they watch you fix their problem, that can be an enormous grace to them. There's a time for discipline and punishment. You don't allow people to move and you don't allow people to talk back. You don't allow people to disrespect you, but you don't make their ears tired from too much talking. All right. I don't want to get into the whole balance because there's a time for everything. There's a time for talking. There's a time for action, but we overdo it. But the big thing that I'm running into is, like, we think we know something and we don't. And we really believe we know it. And we just, if I could just tell someone this, then that'd solve it. No. You don't know all that. Learn to say these words. I don't know. Learn to say those words. I don't know. I've got to listen. Remember what Josh McDowell said about you know, Ravi Zacharias' victims? Like if someone was one of Ravi Zacharias' victims, like what he said to do? He said, listen. Person talks, say, wow, that That doesn't sound fun. Yeah, no, I'll give you an example. You know, just the other day, I'm supposed to meet with a kid, and he wants to cancel. And I'm like, I see a lot of irresponsibility in this, honestly. And I'm like, no. I mean, the answer that I'm giving the kid is, I'm like, that kid's got everyone yelling at him all the time. You know what? Honestly, I think God's telling me to cancel anyway. So I didn't talk to him about any peripherals. I just sent him a message. I said, you know, man, it's time to cancel. Take a break. Oh, I'll tell you what. You know, someone that's going to be friendly during a storm. The kid seemed to love it. He was happy the rest of the day. I mean, is that because of me? Well, maybe I didn't contribute problems, at least. But the kid started talking about how when we die, like literally, the kid starts posting on social media, when we die, people appreciate us more. People can be bad their whole lives, and they die, and we forgive them, and we miss the good. And I see this on social media, and I'm like, is he going to kill himself? Is he worried that his parents are going to die? I'm like, wait a minute. You know, again, I'm going to wrap up with this. There's this kid on seeing on his social media. He posts this big, long story about how when we die, you know, we in life, we do all these bad things and people are angry at us for the bad things. But then we die, everyone just sort of forgives the bad things we did and they remember the good. That's what happens when we die. He posts this. And I'm thinking, why is he talking about death so much? Is the kid going to kill himself? Does he feel underappreciated? Is this suicide alert here? Is he worried that a family member is going to die? You know, maybe God's telling him something and he's worried about his family, because that happens. God telling kids what's going to happen, then it happens. Oh, kids don't know how to listen to God. No matter how bad we think those kids are, or how much worse we think they are than us when they're not. We're all terrible people who need love. What do I make of this? Should I message a kid and say, hey, you're not going suicidal, are you? Should I message a kid and say, hey, you're not worried, are you? Should I go try to, should I, wait a minute. It all hit me. No. I don't know. I don't know. So I sent him a message. I said, that's deep. And it's true. It's deep. I said, that's deep. I said the only thing that I knew, that it's deep. See, the one part we do know, we say it and we leave it at that. We're uncomfortable with the silence that comes with saying the few little tiny things we know. It's why we like good writing, because writing and poetry doesn't say much. It uses just a few words and it applies to so many things. I'll tell you a secret to Trump. That's what Trump did. His ideas were not specific, so everybody thought he was talking about them, even if he wasn't, and he was masterful at it. The silence is uncomfortable. But we also love it because we need it, because we don't get much of it. So what did I say? I didn't say, hey, you're talking about death. Are you going to kill yourself? Are you someone's going to die? I didn't say that. I just said the truth. I said, that's deep. He messages me back. He just watched it on Naruto. I'm sticking to what I know. I learned when I was 17 how I know if I know something. The problem is sticking with what we know that we know. We don't know much. The problems in the despicable aspects of both America's culture and Taiwan's culture, the despicable aspects come down to people acting like they know what they can't possibly know because they haven't listened enough and haven't seen enough. If we could just stick to what we know, and love people based on that. There's a time to tell people like it is. Maybe gently. You know, one person I said very gently, I said, I love you, man, but we can't continue like this. If we continue like this, I've got a rule. And you know, I'm not talking to the you that's 17 years old. I'm talking to the you that's 20 and 27 years old. And you know that when you're 20 and 27, you're going to be angry at me if I don't say this to you now. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But you're going to hate me when you're 27 if I don't make this rule for you now. Sorry, man. Sorry for the trouble. And the kid's like, yeah, I get it. What are we going to do? I said, I don't know what you're going to do because you're too tired to follow these rules. Because everyone's worn you out in this effing culture. So that's how I laid down the rules with one kid. Now, other kids, I might talk more tough. You got to know your people. But whatever we're doing, it's got to come from love. You can yell at someone if it's from love. They know it. It's not even so much how you say it. It's why. Now, if you're an Enneagram 8 and you yell when you're not angry, that can hurt a lot of people. So, you know, some people just aren't going to get that. But okay, that aside, stick with what we know. Can we please do that? And can we love people? Well, I love you, and things are going to be fine. See you next week.